to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. And she says,
welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Monday afternoon. We've got to talk some college football and college basketball. And joining us like he does every single Monday afternoon, it's David Cobb.
Joining Brian and Brett now on Sports Time is national college football writer for CBS Sports, Memphis native and Tennessee grad, who you can find on Twitter X at David W. Cobb. It's David Cobb.
David Cobb joins us now from CBS Sports. You can go find all of his work over at CBSSports.com. And David, a lot to get to. I think last Monday when you joined us, this was already published, but I don't think we had enough time to get into it last week. But you and I believe a colleague of yours put out a bracketology for college basketball after the news of the 76 team tournament that we will get next year. And you did not have Memphis in there. I believe you had Wichita State in there out of the American. So I'm curious, based on the moves you've seen from Memphis this offseason and from other teams in the American, where would you kind of rank this Memphis roster right now?
Yeah, it's right there at the top of the American. So not in the way, 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 way too early bracketology, but not horribly far off either. So when we put together a bracketology at this point in the calendar, when there have been zero games played and we're still 6 months away from games being played, the only thing you really have to go on, if you're looking at a uniform way to approach it, is what some of the advanced data analysts think of the teams that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Bart Torvik, Evan Miyakawa, like some of the big hitters in the analytics world, they favor Wichita State out of the American right now. So we run various simulations. We have our own data that we incorporate, and then we mix it all up. And what you get is Wichita State right now, but it's not there's no clear favorite in the American. Memphis's roster, I would argue, is probably the most talented, but on a certain level, some of the metrics that you use are going to be hesitant because there's going to be a little bit of last year's influence on it to buy in on a Memphis team that's coming off its worst season yet under Penny Hardaway and, you know, completely flipping the roster once again. So I like what Memphis has done. I think given the resources, given the poor trajectory that you had coming out of last season, I think it's a pretty decent roster. The one thing they're maybe missing is a little bit of rim protection, but I don't think they're far off at all. I wouldn't be shocked if Memphis is voted as the favorite to win the American in a few months when those polls come out. So, we do have Wichita State as the May American favorite, but I don't think Memphis is far off from that title whatsoever.
David, whether you or those advanced metric rankers, whether they did it or not, how would you rank the coaches in the American?
Well, it's interesting. You got a influx. It's kind of become the retread hub a little bit. Has. Like Wes Miller coming from Cincinnati. You've had Andy Kennedy now, the old Ole Miss coach. Chris Mack, formerly the coach at Xavier and Louisville, is in this league now. So if you're power ranking the head coaches in the American, I think you probably put Penny Hardaway fourth or fifth. I mean, I think he's but in terms of a career accomplishments, he's behind Chris Mack. I'd put him, I don't know, pretty close with like a Wes Miller, but Eric Conkle's another name to know from the American in basketball because look, like, you know, that's not a program that's just totally flush with resources that you expect big things from, but they had a really nice year this past year, and he's one of those names to watch because if Tulsa puts together another good season, he could be out of there real quick and in high demand from some of the big boys. So, you know, you win 30 games at Tulsa, you're up pretty high in those power rankings. So, yeah, you know, you scroll through, it's not exactly an elite league in terms of coaches. So maybe fourth or fifth is harsh on Penny. He might be third if I'm truly power ranking them. I think I would go Chris Mack, one. Then I would probably go Eric Conkle two, Penny Hardaway three, Wes Miller four, if that's the way I were power ranking American basketball coaches.
Penny's got to be on that bracket on Selection Sunday. That Memphis has to be somewhere on there, don't they?
I don't think there's any doubt. At this point, you overhauled the staff again. You've overhauled the roster again. You brought in a general manager. You've scheduled as aggressively as you can possibly schedule. Like, if it doesn't work this year, there's not really anything left to try. Like, you've kind of tried everything. If this doesn't work, you've had so many different iterations of your staff, so many different cracks at the roster. No shortage of the beef that you need in the non-conference to put together an at-large resume. And, if it doesn't work this year, I just don't know, like, that there's that one thing that the fans or the supporters or Penny himself who, you know, that they could point to and say, well, if only we did this. Now, I know everybody, like the Penny backers who say, well, give them more money. Well, as we all know, it doesn't grow on trees. And, we all understand Memphis is trying to be good at football. Memphis views football as its ticket to a Power Four league. Memphis has invested, a lot of money in a nice, renovated football stadium. Like, you're not going to do that and then rob Peter to pay Paul just to give Penny Hardaway $2 million more next season so he can go do what with it, right? Like, so no, I think this is it. Like, you make the tournament, you keep on moving. You miss the tournament, come on. It's time to make a change. And thank you for your service. You did some good things. And I think this roster is good enough to do it. Like, is it possible that in a 76 team bracket, the American could get two bids? Yes, absolutely it is. So keep that in mind as well when we're having this discussion. If Memphis does a decent job in the non-conference and then goes 13-5 in the American, mm-hmm. Well, maybe last year that's not good enough. This year with 76 teams, you have even fewer excuses, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about Memphis. I'm talking about everybody. With a 76-team NCAA tournament, like the if you don't make it as an at-large team, I mean, what's your excuse? Like, you clearly were not good enough. So, but I think the expansion helps Memphis, and it helps Penny, because I think it raises the percentage chance, at least on a certain level, that the American gets two teams in the end of the big dance. Is it significantly more likely? No, but it's at least a little bit more likely. And it gives you a little bit of a safety net. If you have a decent November and December, you're not feeling like, oh my gosh, we got to go 17-1, we got to go 16-2. No, you could lose five games against an aggressive non-conference schedule like the one Memphis is going to play, and then go lose four or five more in the American, and probably still be right there with 76. So it's got to be a tournament year for Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. No, it definitely has to be. I'm curious because we had the combine last year or last week, and so now we're about to see a wave of guys making their decision of if they're going to go back to college or if they're going to stay in the draft. We've seen a couple of names over the last week or two make those decisions, but who are some names that you're watching this week on that decision? Who do you think is most likely to return to college?
Yeah, so like for me, it's the three guys who are also in the portal, who are among like the highest ranked potential portal players anyway, if they withdraw. Like, it's Milan Manchilovic from Iowa State, like Kentucky, Louisville, St. John's, going to be in a bidding war for him. I mean, how's that for Kentucky fans? You got Rick Pitino and then your in-state rival, bidding hard against you for the player you have to have. Like, talk about high stress stakes in May. And I think Manchilovic is going to withdraw, and so that's going to be really interesting. Allen Graves from Santa Clara, he's our number four ranked transfer. Same with Tonde Yesufu at Baylor, he's number five. If they both withdraw from the draft, oh buddy, the teams that still need to round out their rosters are going to be throwing money in their direction. So those are the three that are most interesting to me. Like, what's going to happen there? I'll throw Tyler Tanner in there at Vanderbilt. As we suspected, his measurables at the combine suggest that
not great.
He's more like my size than the size of your typical NBA starting.
He's got
guard.
You on speed and ball handling ability, though,
that's
David.
Right.
But he is your size.
he and on vertical and on basketball
on everything else.
There's a lot of things
when it comes to basketball.
I would like to challenge Tyler Tanner to a writing competition. I bet I could go more words per minute.
There
maybe. I don't know about that either. You know, these kids grew up on TikTok. I don't know. Maybe they can hammer them out. But he's a very interesting one as well. But no, it's the three from me who are in the portal who I think moved the needle the most because we'll see a little final window of roster and financial insanity if those guys withdraw from the draft and return to college basketball.
Momcilovic, definitely not returning to Iowa State.
Well, I guess you never say never, but I'd be pretty surprised because they're
not
going to be able to.
Because that impacts the Tigers opening morning up in South Dakota with playing Iowa State opening day.
Yeah.
An opening afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. Good call, Brett. Like, Iowa State's not going to have the level of continuity that it typically does under TJ Otzelberger. And part of that is, like, they're getting priced out a little bit here. Like, that. Yeah. You want to talk about programs that do more with less, and we all think, oh, we have to have $12 million on our roster, or we can't even make the NCAA tournament. We'd be lucky to make the NIT if we don't have a $10 million roster. And if we only have an $8 million roster, by golly, like, we're going under 500. It's just not – that is just not true. Like, that is just factually incorrect. Like, Iowa State has been operating as a Sweet 16, Elite 8 caliber program for multiple years under T.J. Otzelberger without ever having a $10 million roster, okay? It can be done. But what happens is you get a guy like Milan Momcilovic who, I mean, by himself, he's almost – he's probably 75% of Iowa State's entire men's basketball budget. So I don't think it's a matter of does he want to or, you know, does he like Iowa State? I think he likes them just fine. But if you could triple your salary by going somewhere else, who among us wouldn't do it? I mean, so – and it's not like he's going to join the Saudis. It's not like an LIV golf situation where it's like, well, this may not be the morally best thing to do. I mean, no, there's nothing immoral about going to another school, you know?
Not at all.
So, if you can triple your salary, y'all would go to a different station. I'd go to a different website. You know, we'd all do it. So, you know, I think that's where he's at.
Malik Thomas, Billy Richmond, either, neither, back at Arkansas?
Well, both? I've been surprised the idea that, like, maybe Malik Thomas is going to go. That didn't really add up to me. I don't think it's a – I mean, I don't think he's declared for certain, right? But I really thought he could benefit from one more year as more like the guy at Arkansas because obviously with how special Darius Acuff was this year, he played a secondary kind of role. And in my mind, I'm thinking next year's draft is weak. Yeah, Arkansas does have Jordan Smith Jr. coming in to be another star freshman guard. But with an additional year of seasoning, a little bit more time in the weight room, man, I kind of had Malik Thomas penciled in as like a breakout player next year for Arkansas in terms of like, you know, a first team all SEC, a guy who could become a lottery pick. I don't think he's a lottery pick. I think he can make a lot of money at Arkansas. I think he could be a lottery pick next year, but I think he must have had a good combine because the idea right now seems to be that he's going to stay in the draft. So I don't think that kills Arkansas because so long as Billy Richmond Jr. is back and you do have Jordan Smith coming to him, like they're going to be just fine. But man, I'd really like to see that team with Malik Thomas because I think they could be really special with him.
It sounded like Billy Richmond had a pretty good combine as well. I heard some good things from him. Do you think he returns to Arkansas next year?
Yeah, I would think so. But this was probably a really good experience for him because I do think he's an NBA level talent. Especially if Arkansas's got a little extra to play with. If Malik Thomas stays in the draft, hey, buddy, look, Malik's going to stay in the draft. Like, I know you're thinking about it, but all of a sudden we got another $500K we can throw your way. You know, right? So I think financially, it would make a lot of sense for Billy Richmond to come back. All right, Malik Thomas, if he gets that first-round guarantee, all right, like, I still think he'd be better off coming back to college as the 25th or 26th pick, but if you're Billy Richmond, I have a hard time seeing him going in the first round. I don't even think it would be close financially. So I would say he definitely should come back. And he, too, can benefit from the departure of Darius Acuff, especially if Malik Thomas is gone. Because we saw Billy Richmond start to blossom a little bit in the second half of this past season. All of a sudden, he's in a role where he is relied on to score more. He's not the fourth option. And he scores 16 points a game next year, right? Now you're talking about a guy that's close to a lock to go in the first round. So I can't see any world in which Arkansas loses Malik Thomas and Billy Richmond III. I just can't see that.
Billy Richmond plays as hard as any player you'll ever see. I do think he's got to work on consistently knocking down 15, 16-foot jump shot.
For sure. No doubt. And that's, I'm sure, the same thing that he's hearing at the combine, right? It's just, hey, look, we got to see you round out your offensive portfolio. You need to do a little more than 25% from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm.
That's just to survive in the modern NBA. There's just so few guys who can survive in the modern NBA shooting less than 30% from beyond the arc. There is a very limited number of players who are elite in other skill sets.
Next,
who,
they'll get one.
Yeah, right. So it's got to be, there's got to be a larger, more proven body of work from beyond the arc for Billy Richmond before he's worth taking a first round pick on. Now, I say that. Now, he would find a home in the NBA, and 7-8 years ago, I think this decision would be a lot tougher. The decision would be, all right, I can get drafted, or I can get on an Exhibit 10 contract, so I'm going to go. Well, now, like, the math just doesn't add up. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd be much better off coming back to college. Especially, you know, and even 7-8 years ago, I think you'd be better off coming back to college, because if you develop that skill set for a year, well, now all of a sudden, it's not an Exhibit 10. It's not a, oh, gosh, I got to go to summer league and play my tail off to have a chance at making the 15-man roster. It's, no. Like, I'm going to go back to college, get my game in better shape, and then I'm not going to be in that situation a year from now, even if I leave some money on the table in the moment. So, yeah, I just think he's close, but he's just not quite there yet.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what decisions are made over these next couple of weeks. We're talking with David Cobb. He joins us from CBS Sports, covers college football and college basketball for them. David, I've got to say, and it's not even up for question for me, the greatest quote I have ever seen in my life came today from Brendan Sorsby and his affidavit in court documents, where he said, quote, "I rationalized placing those bets when he bet as a player for Indiana on the Indiana Hoosiers. I rationalized placing those bets as a way to feel more connected to the team, to root for my friends, and to feel like I had a real stake in the game that I otherwise was not involved in." He later added, quote, "Because the Indiana football team was not a very strong competitor in 2022, I lost most of the bets I placed," end of quote. That is incredible.
Boy, that's the dog ate my homework.
If that's supposed to help him get eligible, like, good luck, buddy. Sometimes less is more.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Feel like we maybe could have just not said anything there. Oh, man.
Well, what is his lawyer doing? Is his lawyer not, like, reading over this stuff? Like, going, hey, man, like, maybe take that part out. Let's not write that part in that.
Yeah, here's the deal. It doesn't matter how you rationalize it. Like, you have inside information. You're in those practices. Like, you know things that the general public does not. And I think we all understand when you're betting on your own team, maybe you're betting for your own team, but I think we all know that can flip pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That can flip pretty quickly, and you'll have a bad day of practice. Now you decide to bet against them. Then somebody slips in your DMs and says, hey, look, if so, how's so-and-so's injury doing? Is he going to play this week? Oh, no. Hey, buddy, we're going to be down our top two edge rushers and our starting wide receiver. Well, now all of a sudden he's getting paid for that. You know, I'm just saying, like, we all understand how
Absolutely. Easy
it could be, how slippery of a slope that is. Like, I don't care what his rationalization was, as pure-hearted as it was. Like, if anything, he's just giving the NCAA ammunition to hammer him with. Because now that he's said all this, the NCAA can use this to say, look, it doesn't matter what your rationalization was. Look how pure his motives were, in his own words. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're doing it to support your team. It's illegal. You can't play in our league if you do this. So I feel like he was just digging his own grave with some of those comments. Like, that's, woo-wee, buddy. Like, good luck. Good luck here. I just don't see the NCAA saying, oh, yeah, like, we feel like you're sorry. We feel like your motives were pure. So even though you bet on your own team, sure, buddy, come back and play college football. Like, come on. I the NCAA is not going to go there. This is going to get settled in court. And you know what, man? Like, think about this, even if the court ruling were to be in Brendan Sorsby's favor, is that going to get done in time for him to play this year? I just can't see any way that Brendan Sorsby is on the field for Texas Tech this season.
I think this is part of I think he's trying to get an injunction to play for the 20. I think this is part of like an injunction to try to have it all pause until the end of the 2026 season.
Yeah, well, that would be quite a precedent. That would be quite a precedent. Kidding. The Pavia precedent was one thing. The Sorsby precedent will be the one that actually breaks the NCAA. Because if you can get a TRO to play in games when you've been proven to have bet on your own team, just fold it up and go home. The NCAA is done. It's over. At that point, there's no reason for it to exist.
David, how does Greg Sankey win this playoff number battle when he either wants to stay at 12, maybe go to 14 with buys, or settle in at 16, 11 and 5 is what he's advocated with us last summer. Brian, how does he, the only one out there that doesn't want to go to 24, how does he win this?
Yeah, I guess the idea is basically that ESPN doesn't want it, and ESPN and Greg Sankey are tied at the hip. And Greg Sankey's gonna tout whatever ESPN wants. I mean, that's
Petiti, whatever Fox wants.
Exactly. And so these other leagues. Now, you could say the same thing. My point on that has been, well, how come the ACC is so in favor of 24? They're with ESPN. Now, I know they don't like their deal with ESPN, and that's probably the difference. They think, well, they naively signed on in 2016 for a 20-year deal with ESPN with very little foresight into the future about how TV rights deals were going to continue increasing, and now they've been left behind and they can't get out of their deal until 2036. So I think they're less loyal to ESPN because now they feel like they got into a bad deal with ESPN. So that's why you see the ACC throwing their support behind it. Not to mention they would have had Virginia and Georgia Tech both make the field this past season under a 2014 format. So they're looking at a world that gets more of their teams in. And but for the SEC, I mean, I honestly think it'd be good for the league because if you're going to a mostly at-large type of field, the SEC's got a 9-game SEC schedule now, really good strength of schedule. I think the SEC would put 8-9 teams into most 2014 brackets, and you would think that would be appealing
better
to the SEC. But
yeah,
maybe not.
They should. I don't think now. Greg Byrne is far, so he's at a place that it was better when it was two teams because Alabama would often get in when it was just two. So that's over there. George's AD and Kirby, they're for 24. I just don't know how Sankey wins this when all of his coaches appear to want it, and you know they're voicing what the ADs want. The ADs are voicing what if the chancellor, provost, president level won't. I don't know how he escapes this.
Yeah. No, it's weird to see Greg Sankey on an island. Mm-hmm. It's just not, you know, normally if he is, he's going to win. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think Greg Sankey's going to win this one. But at the end of the day, like, if he's tied at the hip to ESPN, like, the SEC's on pretty good footing there because ESPN has the rights. And at the end of the day, too, guys, like it's really only the SEC and the Big Ten that matter because the rest of these leagues have sacrificed to continue being a part of the big boy game. They've sacrificed their vote. Mm-hmm. So it is the Big Ten and the SEC that will determine the future of the college football playoff. And if they're not in uniform lockstep agreement, nothing is going to happen.
No.
So it feels like Greg Sankey is wildly outnumbered here. But from the standpoint of the votes that actually matter, it's 1-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Greg Sankey against Tim Pernetti. I mean, it's not as extreme as it sounds. And then you go poll the general public, 12 or 24, I don't think the overwhelming majority of the general public is going to say 24. Now, the public is more in favor of college football playoff expansion than they are in favor of NCAA tournament expansion. It's different than that. But I don't think you're seeing the average college football fan jumping up and down saying, oh, yeah, let's go to 24. Let's go to 24. So in that sense, like, yes, it feels like the people in power are against Greg Sankey. But you got to remember, on that pyramid of power, he's so far above everybody else that his voice carries far more weight. So if he wants to be on that island, he may feel a little lonely, but he shouldn't feel powerless, because he's not. In fact, he is the reason why the expansion is not happening. And if one man can stand up and keep that from happening, I think it shows you he's still pretty powerful.
Yeah. Well, we just talked about Brennan Sorsby. It looks like news starting to come out that Texas Tech has declared Brennan Sorsby ineligible after finalizing their agreed-upon stipulation of acts with the NCAA and Sorsby. Texas Tech intends to quickly initiate the reinstatement process, that according to Brandon Marcello. So things happening, I guess, for Texas Tech and Brendan Sorsby in a situation that is very, very wild. But who knows what happens there. But, David, we are off next week for Memorial Day, so enjoy Memorial Day, and we'll catch back up with you here in a couple weeks. And by then, it'll be June, and who knows what will be happening with Brendan Sorsby.
All right, fellas, I appreciate it. Y'all enjoy the holiday next week.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much. David Cobb with us from CBS Sports on college football and college basketball. And he was on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Sissy's Log Cabin, the official jeweler of the hometown teams like the Grizzlies and the Tigers, in that great location at 4542 Popper at Popper and Perkins in Laurelwood. The Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, necklaces, earrings. Everybody looking so forward to getting out to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium this year and seeing the surround sound and seeing the ribbon boards and seeing you. And there you will see a lot of the sponsorship that Sissy's have with the University of Memphis. And we know at FedEx Forum with the Floor Seat Lounge, the official jeweler for the Grizzlies and the Tigers, 9,000 square feet in Laurelwood, with expanded lines for Cartier, diamonds, Rolex, and more since 1970, with all the great locations across the Mid-South. Sissy's, they offer a selection of diamonds and estate jewelry and fine gifts, unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, we need to get to another break. When we return, we're getting back into the NBA. The conference finals are set. That means we need to make some picks. We do that next on Sports Time.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
The conference championship is set. Game one tonight in the Western Conference gets started between the Thunder and the Spurs. NBC later tonight, I believe 7:30 is tip time for game one. And then tomorrow night we will get game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Cavaliers and Knicks tomorrow night on ESPN at 7 o'clock. So,
on free TV the
next
two nights. Free
yes.
TV that costs $225
yeah,
a month.
Yeah. Oh, nothing's free, Brett.
Yeah,
nothing's
free.
Is free.
And Brian, it absolutely isn't. And all these people, look, I didn't watch any. I've not ever watched anything on streaming. Mm-hmm. I missed last night, but you know how I consumed it?
On the radio.
On the radio.
Right.
Listen to the ESPN,
right,
fill
yeah.
it out a little rock,
look,
and
yeah.
listen to it just fine, and kept up with it just
sure.
fine, enjoyed it just fine. And it amazes me, people that think they have a right to free TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nah.
No. Here's what you can do. The market will keep factoring it in as mm-hmm. it goes up and up and up, as it has mm-hmm. until, like it did with boxing, with mm-hmm. pay-per-view, nobody bought.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. I mean, look, it's
There's no right to free TV.
No, we talk about it all the time, especially with a lot of sports. You know, you get people that, say that. I mean, I talk about it all the time. The NFL, it's ridiculous because you see people complain all the time. I mean, look, is it expensive? Yeah.
Yes.
But
outrageous.
You pay to see every single game. If you don't want to see every single game, you don't have
to.
You don't got to go out there and buy that. And so, you know, there's different price points for everybody. And so, yeah, I mean, look, it's expensive to have all of these different streaming apps and
a little clumsy.
But sure. Sure, so, but you know
the lagging. I see a lot of complaints about that.
Sure,
but no, you know the NFL, and I think they will get to a point where people the market says, "Whoa, too much." Mm-hmm. Until then, they're going to keep pressing it.
No, they definitely are.
It's called supply and demand.
Yeah,
it's called market capitalism.
No, it definitely is. It definitely is. And so you know,
it's only worked since the days of Adam Smith.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. So I don't think, I think Prime's done with, right? I don't think we have to worry about Prime anymore.
Rest of the Way is on.
Is on, you know, traditional television.
Traditional.
So that at least.
Now, last night
nice.
Was on what?
That was on Prime last night. So that was, you know, you had to have
a
subscription.
I saw a tweet over the weekend that, was it Prime or, Prime's not Amazon, right?
No, Amazon is Prime. Yeah, Prime is Amazon, yes.
And it was on Prime last night?
Yes.
Well, I guess that was it. They have more carriage than TNT ever had.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No.
Well,
Amazon is it. They and you're seeing them get more and more in the sports field. I mean, they're going to – there's a really nice market for Amazon Prime to go and become a
real
force.
How are the sports bars doing it? Do they have it and have it on?
Yeah, a lot of sports bars have the smart TVs, and they, you know, somebody, the owner, somebody has a subscription and they log into it. And, you know, I mean, you know,
and that's legal?
No, no, it definitely is. Yeah,
I asked.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. It absolutely is.
Okay.
You know, for such a long time, the thing was with UFC, the big UFC fights is, you know, these restaurants would, you know, they would buy it and then they would promote it. Hey, we're going to have UFC fight 300 or whatever. And, you know, they felt like they were making more money by buying that. And they're making what they lost to buy that. They're making that by bringing people in and getting them, you know, having them have food and drinks and everything. And so I think it's kind of similar as I think, you know, a lot of these people, they're like, hey, if we have it, you know, maybe one or two more people come in and they don't have it, but they'll come and get, you know, a meal and a drink and watch the game on Prime. So I think it's pretty accessible if you go out places.
Anytime I and others say you have no right to it, you always get, well, we publicly financed the building.
Mm-hmm.
That's everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was far the bigger local cause, whether that works or not, whether it really is a real magnifier effect. Does it really help your town? That's been debated and debated. Many say yes. A lot say no, that the public financing of buildings. But that doesn't mean you get something free because the building got built.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And so, yeah, no, it's kind of been weird this year with...
Do you think those people can balance a checkbook, things like that?
Well, I don't know. I think it's a it's a good question. But, Brad,
it's idiotic, isn't it?
I can't speak because I've never used a checkbook. So I can't really speak on that. I'll leave that to you. But, no, it's been kind of weird. But I think as the season's gone on, I think a lot of people have been more accepting of Prime and Peacock and different things. I think it's been fine for the most part.
Bryant, you are 12-6, 12-6 in the picks. Both Landon and I are 11-7.
All right.
Once again, those play-in games, that's where you really made hay while the sun was shining. 12-6, we're down to Knicks and Cleveland and Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Your two picks.
I think we're going to have a lot of similarity on these picks. I'm going to go.
We're 8-3 on group locks.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. I'm going to go Thunder against the Spurs. I think it's going to be a good series. I hope we get, you know, 6 or 7 games out of this. I think there's a strong possibility we could. But until the Spurs prove they can do it in the postseason, I'm going to have to go with the defending champs, so give me OKC, and I'm going to go with the Knicks. I don't think the Cavaliers will be able to hang with the Knicks, and you know, I think out of these two, I think it might be a little easier for the Knicks to punch their ticket to the NBA Finals.
Landon, you got there correctly predicting all four teams, New York, San Antonio, Cleveland, and Oklahoma City. Very, very good picking. Bryant was 2-2 in that stage. I was 3-1 in that stage. your picks from the East and the West.
Yeah, it's unfortunately going to be copy and paste from Brian. As much as I'd love to go with the Spurs and the Cavs, I just don't think they can get it done. So I'm going to go Thunder and the Knicks as well.
I'm going to do the same thing, my Oklahoma City and my Knicks. So, Brian, you've won. When you're up one and it's group lock, well, you could tie in the finals.
I could.
So we could have somebody pick differently than in the finals. But you will go into the finals up one, runaway freight train winner in the hockey.
Yeah.
But you're hockey expert.
That's right. That's what I've been called. I have a jacket that says hockey expert on it. So I need to break that.
That's what
one
it says
out
on your business card.
Exactly.
May not balance the checkbook, but you still have business card.
Yeah, business
right?
card. I bring that out. All it says is hockey expert. That's pretty much all I have going for me right now. Never balance a checkbook. I think I got some checks when I first opened an account, back when I was in high school. I don't know. I might still have them. I might not still have them, but.
Do you ever see a bank statement?
They come in the mail. I don't open them, but
you don't get it online.
I think it comes online. I don't know. It's
never look at it.
I don't. That's great. I don't need to look at that. You know, they're just doing that. I think I did change it because I got a letter that was like, "Hey, you're killing trees. You can do it online." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I don't want to kill trees. You know, let's just
who does
let's do it online." And so I don't know. It might come in online. It might not.
9-2 on the hockey picks. Landon 6-5. I'm 5-6. We all have Buffalo tonight. Group lock over Montreal.
Yeah, that's been a really fun series, and we'll see what happens later tonight in Buffalo. You got to imagine the KeyBank Center is going to be rocking for Game 7, 6:30 on ESPN. Must watch tonight.
Those
I love this.
People.
Oh man, honestly, it'd be brutal if
Come
they
on,
lose
Buffalo.
Tonight. It'd be brutal.
Don't do it. Don't
love
do it
watching this Canadiens team, so I'll be fine if they win. But man, if we've all got Buffalo, I guess I'll be rooting for Buffalo tonight.
Yeah, it should be wild. I really am for Buffalo.
Yeah.
Those people, they've had enough losing.
Yeah, no, they need some.
And they still
haven't
hit their two warm days of the year, Fourth of July.
Yeah, they'll get to it at some point.
They might get three. It might be warm the fifth.
Maybe
too.
I don't know. Hey, fingers crossed on that if they can get a third day of it. But we got to make hockey picks on Wednesday. That's when
we do
the West Finals get started between the Golden Knights and the Avalanche. So and then the next night, Thursday, will be whoever wins tonight against the Hurricanes. So hockey picks coming up soon for both those conference
Your
finals.
Basketball picks, was that straight picks, or is that who you're for, or both?
I'm for Oklahoma City. I think
I don't really
great.
Care. I'm going to watch and enjoy, but I don't.
Sure.
I have no preference.
I really don't either. I think if you were forcing me
now
to
I'm
pick,
for
I'm
my Knicks.
Oklahoma City. Oh,
I'm tapping back in.
I know you're for your Knicks.
1973.
I really don't know
well,
who
if
I'm
I could
for
find
in
that
East.
New York Knicks leather gym bag
oh, man,
I had, man, it was
beautiful.
Classic.
That would be beautiful.
It was classic.
I guess if I have to pick a side in Cleveland and the Knicks, I really don't love the Knicks. And Naquan Tomlin is on Cleveland. He got a little run last night, so I'll go with the former Tiger. I'll root for Cleveland in this round.
I'm for big city,
yeah.
New York, the ultimate against Oklahoma City, and that line of argument will get so silly.
Oh yeah, no, it will get wild. But.
The New York media will be convinced people in Oklahoma don't have running water.
They really will be. They will. And so, I don't know. It always gets crazy. But I think both these have the potential to be really, really entertaining series. And, I'm really looking forward to this one that starts tonight between the Thunder and the Spurs.
This hour of our show brought to you every day by the number one Ford dealership in the Mid-South. You want to talk Dynasty. They have one at Landers, and the Dynasty got built through their great customers like our listeners. Landers Ford, your trusted destination for a vehicle that fits any lifestyle, a seamless shopping experience from vehicle choice to financing and service, from the Ford Escape to the rugged F-150 to the adventurous Bronco, every vehicle built with those Ford tough standards. The Ford F-150, America's best-selling truck. That's a dynasty right there, just in the Ford F-150 SUVs like the Ford Escape, the Ford Explorer, Ford Broncos, the Ford Expedition, EVs, hybrids, they have it all, and the transparency. What you see is what you get. No hidden addendums, no fine print right there in big, bold print. Professionalism and long-term support at Landers Ford in Collierville. Oil changes, tires rotated. Go online right now and schedule when it suits you the best, where it'll be done quickly to meet your very busy schedule. Landers Ford, active in our community in Collierville at 2082 West Poplar Avenue, or online at LandersFordMemphis.com. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
Well, we need to get to another break, and when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. And 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. When you hear the sound of coming.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, Brett, my big number today, it comes from the NBA, and it comes from that game last night. We talked about just, I mean, you could tell early the direction that that game was going. It was all Cleveland, and it really never felt like the Pistons were really in that game. But this big number comes from that. It is the number 4. Last night, 4 different Cavaliers put up at least 20 points, while no Pistons player reached 18. It was the second ever playoff game of its kind in NBA history after Game 3 of the first round between Washington and Chicago in 2005. So no player reached 18. The leading scorer last night for the Detroit Pistons, Danish Jenkins, who had 17 points on 4 for 12 from the field. No offense to Danish Jenkins. I think he's a fine player. When he's leading the team in a playoff game with 17 points, well, that's kind of the result that you're going to get.
Yeah, you're not winning.
No, not at all.
Nick Kurtz right now for the Homeless A's. He's on a consecutive on-base game streak and climbing daily. But right now, I don't have it in front of me. It might be my big number tomorrow. Yeah. The names on it are classic.
Oh, I believe it. That's
back to the Philadelphia Athletics.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
The names are great.
Yeah, that's got to be good. Wow.
Yeah. My big number is 70, as in a percentage. 70%, the Cardinals are 27-19. Mm. So 70% of their wins, 19 out of the 27, have been by 2 or 1 run.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah. 70% of the wins by 2 or 1 run.
Wow. Well, living on the edge. You got to win those type of games, and they have they found a way to win a lot of close games this year. So, good for them. I mean, I don't really know what that's going to, how that's going to pay off, but they've been fun to watch. They've been a fun team.
Been a lot of fun, and the characterization around them has been fun team, but you know, plucky team, everything but patting us on the head, cute team. Yes. When do you get good team?
Yeah,
when do they get good team?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Win the division.
I think that's the start of it.
But all the pleasantries are right up there with you got a nice little swing.
Yes. I mean,
you got a cute little game.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you look at that roster, and I think those type of observations, comments were already kind of baked in before the season started. You know, just the way that it's, a lot of young guys, a lot of guys that, what are they doing at other places? You know, those are kind of the things that I feel like were being thrown around about this roster before the season started. And so now that they're winning games, it's like, oh, well, they're just the fun, plucky, underdogs that are going out there and winning games, which, hey, I've said the same thing. I
mean, but it has been.
No, it's been
a lot of fun, barring just total collapse the next week, at the first summertime holiday.
Yeah.
All's pretty well.
Yeah, I would say so.
That gets you very little.
No, but.
On the last day of the year, though.
No, but I mean, if you had.
But it's better than being 10 under 500 and hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the ballpark. Finally, some fire in the ballpark.
Yeah, no, there definitely was.
Now, will it be for the next couple of days against
the
Pirates?
That'll be the question. Obviously, it was the fun story of the Stephen F. Austin club team in town. And, can the rest of the fan base carry that when they're not in the ballpark? But yeah, I mean, if you had asked, I think either, well, not you, because you had the high bar for this Cardinals team before the season started, but I think if you asked most before the season started, hey, on Memorial Day, what's the record going to be? Oh, it's not going to be good. It's going to be however many games under 500.
Well, Ollie Marmol will have a job.
Hope. Yeah, I mean, that was how a lot of us talked about it before the season started. So, yeah, I think unless you just go 0-for until next Monday, I think you're looking at it going, yeah, this is much better than I thought this team would be. That's
I don't
really
think 0-for will happen, but it wouldn't shock me. I keep waiting daily for this to kind of level off.
Yeah,
water finds its level.
Yeah, it feels like at any time it could happen. So.
It's happened to the Reds, but everybody right now is still over 500 in the National League Central.
Yeah, which is really impressive. So, you know, you got the Pirates this week and then—
A lot of Central.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of Central. The Reds on the road for the weekend, so— You know, I think they'll be these will be two fun series. You get your division teams, and we'll see how they fare against them.
I saw it in person early last September when I went to St. Louis for Cardinals and A's. People, you need to watch Nick Kurtz, and you need to watch his opposite field light tower power.
Yeah, you got to give the Athletics credit. You know, they've got some really fun players.
They got a chance.
They do, and you know, it's been building. And like you said, I mean, you could see a couple of these guys over the last couple of years. And man, if they could just really put it together, you know, they could make some noise. And so now it feels like they're starting to put it together, and a fun team to watch, and we'll see if they can keep it up and, you know, maybe make some noise later in the season. You know, at 500 right now, I think they've got life, and we'll see what happens to them. The White Sox over the weekend, too. We haven't even mentioned them, what they did against
the
Cubs.
Two out of three.
I mean, that was really impressive.
Mino Cubs.
Yeah, rivalry weekend. So that was
And their ballpark rocked.
Yeah, no, it did.
All
it
weekend.
Did. It did.
And then last night on Sunday Night Baseball on Channel 5.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many great baseball announcers are out there. Jason Benetti's in that league.
Oh, he's incredible. He's incredible. Now, I didn't watch much of that game. I turned it off. You know, that Seattle team's terrible, so I turned it off and watched basketball. But Jason Benetti's awesome. He any game he's on, it's kind of must see because he really is.
Both does he do White Sox every day?
No, he's now with Detroit. I think he's still with Detroit every day. I don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he's with Detroit every day. And
Sean be so good with the Cubs.
Yeah, no, there's some.
I think
really
Skip Carey's right
there
with. And then national level, got it Saturday night with Joe Davis and John Smoltz.
Yeah, no, I mean it's really, really good right now, and there's a lot of guys at the top of their craft that are doing it with Major League Baseball. So it's a handful of games tonight should be fun.
Every night
next
with
hour.
That Giants local TV crew.
Yeah. No, they're really good. So
Krukow and company.
Yeah, no, it's the Major League Baseball has some really, really nice broadcasting teams. It makes it really, really fun to watch. But let's get to another break, wrap up this second hour. And when we return, we're switching gears. We're talking the Grizzlies to Michael Cole. He joins us next.